Now we continue this evening with our sermons in the book of Proverbs. If you would turn again to chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse 20 down to the end of that chapter. Proverbs chapter 19, and reading the verses from verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth his mother away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Amen. A few weeks ago in our sermons in the book of Proverbs, we looked at the first two verses of those verses that we read from again this evening, and at the general theme or the general issue which those two verses set before us. The issue, of course, is the issue of counsel. And as we said at that time, the issue of counsel and counselling and counsellors and so on is one that comes before us on many occasions on the pages of the book of Proverbs, this particular part of the Word of God to our souls. In one place we are told about our Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, as the one who is the supreme counsellor, the wonderful counsellor to our souls for all the affairs of our life in time and for eternity itself. For although the book of Proverbs is an Old Testament book of the Word of God, like all the Old Testament books of the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ is there, and he is to be seen in the book of Proverbs as the one who would come into the world to be the Saviour of all who would believe in his name. In another place we are told that without counsel, purposes are disappointed. And then in those verses that we read from again this evening, in verse 20, we are exhorted to hear counsel and receive instruction, that we might be wise at the end of our days. And then in verse 21, we are reminded that although there are many devices in the heart of a man, at the same time, nevertheless, it says, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord shall prevail, and the counsel of the Lord shall be seen to be right and have been right throughout the history of this world. So the issue of counsel, the business of counsel and counselling and so forth. And as we said last time also, the issue of counsel and counselling and counsellors is one that should be readily recognisable to our hearts and our minds in these days in which we live. In the days in which we live, there are counselling classes, there are counselling sessions, there are counselling agencies, there are counselling experts. You can buy 101 books on the issue of counselling, and with regards to any issue, all the problems of life, someone is able to counsel you with regards to that. What a blessed thing it is then, my friends, if indeed we know our Lord Jesus Christ is the one given to us as the wonderful supreme counsellor to our hearts and to our minds. No wonder then the Lord's servant says in that verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end, at the end of this life, and then on into that eternity itself which lies before us all. Now for this evening, we're going to look at the words of verse 27. And what you have in those words, in a very real sense, is a word of counsel, a word of sincere counsel given from the lips of the Lord our God in heaven above, and for each and every one of us within these walls this evening. So if you look at those words, verse 27, "Cease, my son," says Solomon, "to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." And assuredly, that is a word of sincere counsel. In the first place, it's a word spoken by King Solomon in those days to one or other of his sons. But like all of such portions of the Word of God, it goes away beyond human relationships, and ultimately it has its application to us, and it has that application to us in the affairs of the gospel of our soul's salvation forevermore. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." And if Solomon was capable of giving a word of counsel like that to his son in those days, how much more so does the Lord set his word of sincere counsel along those very same lines to each and every one of our hearts and souls? For the sake of division, then, we're going to look at three things. First of all, what the counsel is, and then how the counsel is given, and then how the counsel is to be received. Those three very simple, straightforward points this evening. First of all, then, what the counsel is. And what it is, of course, is this. It is a word of sincere counsel, not to give any heed to wrong counsel or bad counsel in the course of our lives. That's what it consists of, the words consist of. It is a word of sincere counsel from God to us, and it is a word of sincere counsel not to give any heed to wrong counsel or bad counsel in the course of our lives. And you see that, don't you? "Cease, my son," says Solomon, "to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." In other words, anything that would lead you astray, anything that would put you off in a wrong direction, anything that would cause you to deviate from the right path, those things you are to turn away from. Don't give any heed to them. Close up your ears against them. Don't receive them in any way into your heart and into your understanding. Whether those things would come before you as teachings or opinions or views or instructions, whatever the case might be, if those teachings or those opinions or those instructions would cause you to err from the words of knowledge, as Solomon says here, then you're to close up your ears to those words, and you're to close up your hearts and your understanding. You're not to listen to those words, regardless of how they come before you or regardless of who it is that would bring such words before you. That's what the word of sincere counsel is. That's what it consists of as it comes from the lips of Solomon, first of all on the human level, to one of his sons. But as I say, ultimately, it is a word from God, my friends, to each and every one of us. And really, who would disagree with the sentiment of those words with regards to everything, all the aspects of life? Surely we need to close up our ears to those things that would put us off in a wrong direction. Take it at whatever level you want. For example, and not to be frivolous, but if somebody tells you that the quickest way to drive from Inverness to London is to go by Wick and Thurso, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. It's going to take you half the week to get there if you take that kind of route. Somebody tells you there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't go off searching for a pot of gold, because it is instruction that will cause you to err from what the true state of things really is. My friends, you see, in 1,001 areas of life, you see the validity of the counsel that Solomon is giving his son for any area of life. See the value of it. It has an application right across the board in countless areas of our life. And surely, in the things of the gospel, that's where it comes to its height. In trivial things, in serious things, in life dependency things, that word of counsel can have its application and should be listened to by each and every one of us. Cease, my son, to hear instruction that causes to err from the words of life. And if that's true, indeed it is true, in all of those various aspects of our life from day to day, as I say, how much more in all the issues of life that have to do with the issues of our eternal life, that have to do with our souls, with that part that will never die, with heaven and hell and all the issues of the gospel, as those words in the gospel come before us in the truth of God. That's where the counsel, you see, that is given, not to listen to wrong counsel or bad counsel, that's where God's sincere counsel comes to its height for all of us. There are many, many words of instruction, many so-called words of instruction, we'd better call them, when it comes to the issues of our eternal life with our God in heaven above. And from such, my friend, and from those who speak those words, we are to turn away our ears, we are to turn away our hearts and our minds from listening to such words that would cause us to err indeed. And as I say, it's there in the gospel that the word of sincere counsel to you and to me, to each and every man, woman, young person on the face of this earth of ours, Christian or non-Christian, it's there that God's sincere word of counsel comes to its height. And by the grace of God in our lives, it is to hear that counsel and receive that counsel so that it might be well with us when the end of our life does come, when eternity finally dawns, as it will surely, surely dawn for each and every one of our souls. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the word of knowledge. And what God says here, through the agency of his servant Solomon, that truth comes before us endlessly, endlessly, throughout the pages of the word of God to our souls. Now let me just take up a bit of that. And supremely, in a sense, it comes in our Lord Jesus Christ, as all things supremely come at the end in Christ the Lord. And in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on the face of this earth of ours, he was always stating in a dozen and one ways what Solomon here states in these verses. One of the great examples is, I suppose, a well-known passage of the Word of God to most of us, usually called the Sermon on the Mount. And as people recall the Sermon on the Mount, when Christ went up the mountainside at that time and began to preach and to teach the people, and we're all familiar, I'm sure, with what we call the Beatitudes. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Each and every one of us, to one degree or another, we know something about the Beatitudes, as they're called, as the Lord preached those Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Or when he took up the issue of prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, he says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, magnificent words, glorious words that our Saviour spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. But those weren't the only words that Christ preached in the Sermon on the Mount. And my friends, in fact, a good deal of that Sermon on the Mount was spent in pressing home the principles of that truth that Solomon recorded by the Holy Spirit of God all of those hundreds and hundreds of years before. Listen to one example, still the Sermon on the Mount. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You see what Christ is saying? He's saying, don't listen to the teaching of these false prophets. Beware of them. This is Christ speaking. It's not me speaking. That wouldn't matter. Tuppence. This is Christ speaking. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, beware of false prophets. He's simply echoing, is he not, that word out of our text tonight. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes you to err. And that's not the only place. Countless occasions, over and over and over again, our Lord Jesus Christ preached the selfsame message to men and women. When he was preaching on one occasion, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, didn't like it much. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard your saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind shall lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You see, he's telling us about blind leaders of the blind. On another occasion, selfsame kind of ministry, as our Lord takes up, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. This is Jesus Christ. What notions people have of Jesus Christ. And my unconverted friend, this is the Christ that you and I have to do with. And with all the tenderness that flowed from him on so many occasions, these words also, which spell out the very sentiment of that verse in the book of Proverbs, stop listening to those things that would cause you to err from the truth of the gospel in your soul. Strong words. Powerful words from the Lord, but they are Christ's words to each and every one of us. The words of knowledge are referred to there in the verses of Proverbs, and I say they come to their fullness in the gospel, the word of eternal life, as it's called in another place, the word of the truth of the gospel, that says Paul to Timothy, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. And on the other hand, the instruction that causes to err is any instruction, any notion, any teaching, any view, any theory that would lead you away from the fact that God has provided salvation in only one way, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ, who died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And the sincere word of counsel, don't you see that, is this. Stop listening to all such words that would cause you to err. And of course, by token of that, from the other side, then start listening to those things that tend to eternal life. As we'll see in a moment, this sincere word of counsel is given in a certain way from the lips of the Lord into our hearts and our minds and our understanding. And the reason for that, of course, is this, because it involves the issues of our soul salvation. And nowhere do you find our Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, pressing home truth than when it comes to the issues of our soul salvation. There is this life. We need words of counsel for this life. We turn away from bad words of counsel for the things of this life. But when it comes to the things of eternal life, that's when these words come to their absolute fullness. And you see, that's why Christ warns so much about false teachers. I think many of God's people today have closed up their ears to the warnings of Christ about false teachers. And I think we think that there's something about us that we are beyond any infection or beyond any poisoning, and that we can listen to or drink in or read about anything that we like and it won't affect us. You're a grand person if you think like that, my friend. And be able to say, as for me, I will content myself with the words that are given in this word of eternal life. You see, as our Lord preached and warned about the false teachers and so on, as I say, there was many, many times that emphasis because he was dealing with the issues of eternal life. That word about the false prophets and so on. You see the context. That's why I read the context in which those words are set. Enter ye in at the straight gate, our Lord is saying, as he then goes on to warn about the false prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in there that. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You see, there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to be avoided, and anyone or anything that tells you differently is a false prophet who has come to you all dressed up in sheep's clothing to keep you in the way that leads to destruction. You see, there is a word of instruction that leads to destruction, and that's the word that you and I and each and every one of us is to close up our ears against. And as our Lord speaks there, then all who sincerely followed after the Lord, and we would trust and labor to be among them, my friends, those who sincerely follow after the Lord. But all those who followed after in the setting of the Word of God itself, they were of the same heart and the same mind with the Lord and the Savior that they had taken on to follow. The Lord's Apostle Paul, we've recently just finished those sermons in the Epistle to the Colossians. You remember the issue there? There were false prophets. There were false teachers. There were people coming along and saying, yes, you must believe in Jesus Christ, but with Christ, you must add all kinds of things. Your own works, your own efforts, religious ceremonies, the old Jewish rite of circumcision. You must add all of those things to Christ. And as Paul takes in hand under the Spirit of God to deal with all that, you remember virtually the motto text of Colossians, and it's this: beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware of false prophets, says the Lord. Beware, says the Lord's apostle, as he echoes Christ's warning with regards to our never-dying souls. When he writes to the Galatians, self-same kind of word, self-same kind of situation. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I wonder when we last called a curse down on the head of false gospel preachers. Maybe we're too tender for that. You see, we have become so refined in our day that we're refining ourselves out of the Bible. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself, my friends, stood before men and women and said in the words of our text, cease. Cease from listening to those things that are taking you down into hell. Cease from those words of instruction that cause you to err from the words of knowledge. And as Christ preached that way, Then the apostles preached that way. And those who come after sincerely following Christ preach that way. And by the grace of God, my friends, we simply preach that way tonight, and may we constantly, always be determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So you see the clear message as far as the issue is concerned, what the word of counsel is all about. And it is just that we are not to receive any such words. That verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Many devices. There are many devices in a man's heart. And surely that's a true, true word. From the days of the Garden of Eden, when the old serpent, the devil, came with his word of instruction to our first parents, and cast us into hell in an undone eternity unless God should intervene, right until this day, numerous, countless, millions, devices in men and women's hearts with regards to the gospel. And very simply, my friends, the word of counsel for tonight is this. Cease. Cease from listening to the word that would cause you to err from the words of knowledge. For this life, that's a good word of advice, if you like. For eternal life, that is imperative. With regards to the gospel, that is imperative. Dear old Charles Haddon Spurgeon of another day, for, you know, things never change. Heart of man never changes. And dear old Mr. Spurgeon said, some sermons are not to be listened to at all. Just as some meats are not to be eaten. Against the siren's song, the only safety was deaf ears. You know what the sirens were? They were those mythical beings in Greek mythology that cried out with their songs and lured the sailors onto the rocks. Well, the only way the sailors could steer their ships safely past the rocks were by putting their fingers into their ears. And that's what the dear old preacher says in his day and for our day. Some sermons are not to be listened to at all. Close up your ears. Cease, my son, from hearing the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So what the counsel is that it is a word of good counsel, sincere counsel, to turn away our ears from bad counsel, from wrong counsel, from wrong instruction. Now, secondly, we can think about how the counsel is given. And from the words of the verse, the counsel is given with sincerity and urgency. And if you read the words again, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of life. And there you see in the verse, there is both sincerity and urgency in that word. Now let me take the urgency first of all. Because you see, when Solomon says to his son there, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge, he is telling him to stop doing something and to stop doing it right away. You see, he doesn't simply say, don't listen to false counsel or false teaching or false prophets, whichever the case might be. He says, in fact, stop doing it. Cease from it. Give it up. And clearly implied in that word of counsel is this, that Solomon gives to his son, is the fact that his son was already listening to bad counsel and bad words of instruction. So that he doesn't say, as I say, in that sense, don't listen to it. He's already listened to it. And what he's saying is, cease doing it. Stop doing it. And stop doing it right away. And when it comes to the gospel, my friends, that applies to each and every one of us by nature and by practice. You see, our hearts and our minds, when it comes to the things of the gospel, isn't virgin soil. It's not as though you're applying to hearts and minds an understanding that are just ready. And that's the very opposite. Our hearts and our minds, my friends, are already filled up with all the words of instruction that cause us to err from the way of life. Already there, built in there by nature and by practice. And the heart of man, naturally, in himself, drinks in false teaching and heresy and error, like thirsty ground drinks in the rain after there's been a drought. That's how it is with us. That's how we're constituted. That's how we are in the fall. And you can read that fact throughout the pages of the Word of God from end to end. Man by nature comes to us, set before us in the Bible, towards the Bible, with a bias. Remember, we had that word this morning, and it's a good word, my friend. There is an inbuilt aversion in the heart of man to the words of life. And there is an inbuilt receptiveness to those things that are against the truth of the living God. That's how we are. And that's why the word of the gospel doesn't simply come to us and say, don't listen. That's true. No, no. It already assumes that we've listened. It already assumes that we've taken in the error. And that's why, if we're unconverted tonight, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And you see, when the word of counsel is given to cease from listening to those things that has put you and kept you on the broad road that leads to destruction, then there is that urgency about the thing. Men love darkness rather than light, says the Saviour. And what Solomon is saying to his son, in fact, is this. Get yourself out of the darkness, you see. There's an urgency about it. Maybe you should say, get the darkness out of yourself. But whatever the case might be, he says, cease, my son. Stop listening to what you have been listening to that is causing you to err from the words of knowledge. And with that, of course, as I've said earlier on, built into that is the other side of things. Surely it says this, my friend, start listening. Start listening to the words of eternal life and the words of instruction that places on the narrow way that leads to life eternal. Always those two things go together over and over again on the pages of God's word. And again, you reduce that to any area of life. That man earlier on that was setting off from London, you don't only tell him he's on the wrong road. That would be good enough to do that. But surely you then point him to the right road. And of course, when the Bible, when the gospel tells us that we're on the wrong road and stop listening to those directions that have put us on the wrong road, whether they've come from your own heart, which they so easily come from, or from the old serpent, the devil, which they so readily come from, or from a million and one false prophets that the devil raises up for that very purpose. Doesn't matter where they've come from. Stop listening to them. And by the grace of God, start listening to the words of eternal life. My friends, how many words of eternal life they are. We've had them throughout this day, throughout our lives, out of the word, and the words that we sung, come on to me and I will give you rest. He that believeth in me shall never enter into condemnation, as pastoral. All the words of the gospel that we're to start listening to once we stop listening to those words that tend to destruction. And again, as I say, if you take up the issues involved in these words of instruction in the gospel to our souls, then you'll see why there's an urgency. And that urgency couldn't be clearer. Listen to a few words. We know not what the morrow may bring forth. Where are you going tomorrow? Where are you going tonight, for that matter? Oh, I'm going here, there, and the next place. Have you got the spirit of James in your soul? If the Lord will, And what arrogance in the human heart that it can look at what God says in the Bible and look at all the multitude of the experiences of life that tell us that fact, and still we act as though we were immortal. If the Lord will, I'll say tomorrow, I will do this and that and the next thing. For we know not what tomorrow may bring forth. Do you ever walk with a light step one day and with a heavy heart the next? That's life, my friend. That's life. And life that can be suddenly cut off in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then where is all your instruction that you've drunk in with regards to a false way of salvation from some false prophet or the devil or your own fallen heart? Multitude of words just like it. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And it's that kind of fact, you see, that gives the urgency to the council. Cease, my son. Do it now. Stop listening now to those words that have caused you to err from the way of knowledge. Today, says the Bible, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And in that verse 20 again, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You see, on the one hand, it says hear. On the other hand, it says cease to hear. And those are the two arms of the gospel that come before us, and surely in the light of eternity that stretches out. So grasp the urgency. Take it to your own heart. There's no point in reading the Bible if we don't take it to our own hearts and our own minds and our own circumstances. And as Solomon speaks in the way that he does to his soul, you take, grasp the urgency of Solomon's words to his son, and then multiply it a million times over and apply that urgency to your own never-dying soul. And then there's this as well, that the counsel is also given with great sincerity. And that also comes out in the words very, very clearly. Verse 27 again, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Cease, my son, says Solomon, to hear instruction. Cease, my son. I know, my friends, I'm sure any of us, most of us, could identify with that in one way or another. See, it's the breathings of a father to a son, made in all sincerity, with an eye to the well-being of his son. Isn't it reflective? We say it over and over again. We've said it over and over again. Sometimes it's been like talking to milestones, but never mind. Keep saying it. Cease, my son. Cease, my daughter, listen to the truth. Stop listening to the lies of the devil and your own fallen heart. Cease, my husband. Cease, my wife. Cease, my sister. Cease, my brother. You see? And in all sincerity, Solomon says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Let me qualify something. In applying it to ourselves, of course, in the gospel, you remember that in a sense we are sons and daughters of the living God, by creation, if you like. But of course, by redemption right, we're no such thing until we know him as our Father in heaven above. One of the great devices that's in the heart of a man, sown there by the devil and the love of our old fallen heart for error and for heresy, is that we're all sons and daughters of God, you see. So we're never going to die. Well, the last word in that, I suppose you would say, is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because again, like all the heresy and all the error, there's nothing new, and they had that claim in their own day. There was a group that Christ spoke to once, and they were claiming that they had God as their father. So Christ gave an acid test with regards to that. You take the same acid test tonight. Then our Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. Now there's a simple enough test. We keep saying all the time, if, then. Well, says Christ, if God were your father, then you would love me. Do you love Christ? That's simple enough. And it's not loving Christ in some kind of a vacuum, indeterminate way, because our Lord goes on to speak, if God were your father, you would love me because, for this reason, I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And always when you read in the Gospel of John, especially, about Christ speaking about himself as the one who has come from God, or been sent from God, he has come from God and been sent from God to die on the cross to be our Savior. And Christ says, if God were your father, ye would love me as the one who has come into this world to die on the cross to be the Savior. You see what Christ is really saying in that verse. And my friend, if you don't love Christ for the cross, your heart and mind is a million miles away from the heart and mind of God in heaven above. So when it comes to the fullness of fatherhood and our sonship, be sure what constitutes sonship to the living God. But having said that, you can still let there see that in that there is that sincerity in the counsel that Solomon gives. Hear, my son, cease, my son, to hear that instruction that causes to err from the word. And as you take the Lord's preaching, Christ preached sincerely, my friends, to the hearts and minds of men and women. Time would never permit to go through all of that. But there's a formula, maybe you would say, or a preface that Christ used to his words over and over and over again that spells out Christ's sincerity. It's when he says, verily, verily. It means surely, surely. And when Christ prefaces so many of his statements, it just breathes out the sincerity of the Savior in speaking to the hearts and minds of men and women. On one occasion he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now you see there, that's that bit that's saying, stop listening to bad counsel. In the very same setting, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And there he's saying, you see, start listening. Start listening to the shepherd's voice, and not to false shepherds, and not to false prophets. And again, all who ever followed after the Lord, they always breathed out that sincerity to men and women, those Galatians who were in danger of turning away from Christ crucified as the only means of salvation. You can read the breathings of the Apostle Paul as he writes to them, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? You see, foolish Galatians. And my friends, when the Lord speaks his word of counsel to our souls, to turn away from false counsel, by virtue of that, to open up our hearts and our souls to good counsel and true counsel, he gives that counsel with all urgency and with all sincerity. Remember that other word about counsel, that it's like ointment poured forth? So is hearty counsel to a friend. God gives hearty counsel. And Christ gives hearty counsel from the heart to hear the words of eternal life. And again, throughout the whole of the scriptures, over and over and over again. So then, the word of counsel is this, stop listening listen to the Lord saying, stop listening. Stop listening to anything that has told you that there is another way of salvation. Stop listening to the nonsense that is abroad today. That because God is love, then nobody's going to hell. Yes, they are. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about those who don't believe in him? Well, if language means anything, it means they do perish. Don't you see? Stop listening to that. Stop listening to the idea that says, I'll keep as much of the law of God as I can, be as good as I can, then I'll be all right. No, you won't. For by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. It is faith that saves the soul. Faith in Christ crucified to grant us salvation. So the counsel is, stop listening, start listening, and the counsel is given surely with all urgency and with all sincerity. And just to conclude then, how is the counsel to be received? Of course, the counsel is to be received in the same way in which it is given. It is to be received with sincerity and with urgency. Now take this to heart, my friend. God is sincere. Christ is sincere in giving such a word of counsel as this, and giving it sincerely and with urgency. So you be sincere in receiving the word that the Lord so graciously and sincerely gives. As the Lord speaks, to turn you away from those things that are leading you into a non-done eternity, as God in the gospel is sincere in giving that word, be sincere in receiving that word. The Lord's apostle Paul that we mentioned knew all about the process. You remember he was on his way to the city of Damascus, breathing out threatenings against the church of Christ. And the reason why he was breathing out threatenings against the Church of Christ was because he had drank in a whole lot of instruction that was causing him to err from the truth that this was the Messiah who was to come. You see? He had imbibed all of those false notions and he was persecuting the people of God. And when Christ came and spoke to him in the way that he did, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Then comes that response from the apostle, as he would be, sincere response indeed. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See, that was sincere. Christ came, my friends, turning him away from that instruction that was causing him to err. And as Christ came, turning him away from that instruction that was causing him to err sincerely, then sincerely, Saul of Tarsus received that counsel to his soul. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If you got it in you tonight to say that. Got it in your soul, my friend, to say. You say it by the grace of God, because unless and until you say it, you're still on that broad road that Jesus speaks about that leads to destruction. We're not all like Saul of Tarsus. You can come with those kind of responses sincerely, haltingly, trembling. You remember the man, and the Lord cured his son and said to him, if you have faith, then these things can happen to you. And the dear soul responded in the way that he did. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Even if you have to come like that, you come like that, my friend. And you say there's 1,001 words of wrong instruction still trying to press themselves in my heart this night, militating against these words of the gospel in your ears, but you say, Lord, I see, I believe, help me, and help my own belief. And when a person does that, indeed, my friends, then all that sincerity of God in the gospel comes to its fullness. What about the urgency? Surely the urgency we've mentioned enough already, that there is the next day, or the next day, or whatever, when Christ is going to come, we don't know, when God is going to call each and every one of us out of time into eternity, we don't know. Those things in themselves should lend an urgency to stop up our ears to false evil notions that are taking us to hell. Open up our ears to the truth of the gospel that will take us into heaven forever and forevermore. The old word that used to be used in the old days of gospel preaching was procrastination. It simply means putting off. I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it the next day. You see, that's the devil's word. And tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. There's a type of person which is very much mentioned in the book of Proverbs, which is mentioned in these very verses indeed. It's what the Bible calls the sluggard, or the slothful man, or the slothful person. It's the person that keeps putting things off. He's mentioned in verse 24 of the chapter we read together. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Same person comes before us in the next chapter, in verse 4. The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. You see, he puts off until there comes to that point where he is nothing. I don't want to jump ahead. We're going to look at the sluggard or the slothful person. But let me just mention one tremendous comparison that the Word of God makes with regards to us being slothful in the gospel. It's in an earlier chapter, in chapter 6. And the Lord says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Verse 6 of chapter 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. While having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Don't we all know that in the mornings, my friends? So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Just one thing. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. And simply two basic facts, my friends, that little insect, you see, knows to do what to do at the time when it should be done. If you like, seed time and harvest. And when it is seed time, then it sees to what has to be done, so that when harvest comes, it is well with that little insect. That's it. This is seed time. The moment Christ appears in this world, or you're called out of this world, seed time is over. And what you've sown, you shall reap. My friends, isn't it? Well, it's almost ironic, that comparison. Go to the ant. And here we are in this technological age in which we live, with all our expertise and this and that and the next thing. And the Word of God can still say, go to the ant. And you see, another notion that comes from the old fallen heart is this. Well, all right, I'm not as good as some. And well, there's Abraham, and there's Isaac and Jacob, and there's David, and there's Peter, and there's Paul. Well, I am not as good as any of them. Of course, I realize that. But you see, in that day, God isn't going to compare you with Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Peter or John. If you like, God will take up that little insect in his hand and say, you didn't even act like that little insect. You didn't see to what you should have seen to in time. and now you're in eternity. And what is your latter end? Clear word, is it not? Cease. Stop. Stop listening to the devil, false prophets, corrupt religion, your old heart. Stop it, says God. Maybe we should take the same text to apply to us as Christians, my friends, in these days in which we live. But open up your heart to the gospel. And as the Lord gives that word of counsel in sincerity and with urgency, receive it sincerely and do it now by the grace of God with urgency. And don't go to hell. Go to heaven. Go to the gathering of the ransomed, to the glory and the praise of Christ.